Hello and welcome into another episode of Podcast 63. It is season 6, episode 5. You might have noticed there was no episode 4. That was a corrupted file on our end, and by the time we realized it, we'd already played another game. So this is gonna.
I think he's just being nice. I think I might have thrown something after the UIC loss, but no, it was a corrupted file. But pretty darn close to throwing something after that game.
We recorded something, and then we both broke our computers right afterwards in frustration. No, but since then it's been some good stuff. So we will we'll be talking about probably like 4 games, really. Maybe one just sort of more in depth, and we'll touch on the other 3. But we will be talking about that, and then we'll also be shouting out our women's team here in a minute. So yeah, stick with us, and we'll be right back. Thanks for listening, and never forget, always remember, go Blurs.
He passes out to Hunter. Hunter shoots off the rim. Rouse gets it, scores. It's over. It's over. We won. We won the ball game. Viola won the ball game. Oh, we won. 60-58.
And we are back. So yeah, the first thing we want to do is shout out the women's basketball team for beating Evanston's Big Ten team, Northwestern. I believe it was the first time in at least like 25 tries, 26 tries, something in that neighborhood. We previously had never, the women's team had never beaten Northwestern. So big, just big shout out to them. Northwestern has had a very successful women's program for a while. Last year was definitely a down year for them, but especially I think back in like the COVID year 2020, they were very, very good. And before last year, they were kind of middle of the pack in the Big Ten. So, but still, nonetheless, beating a Big Ten team, no matter where they fall, is always impressive. You know, that's the kind of thing where, as you all know, and being men's basketball fans, like you start to see, like, oh, they're beating up on the Chicago teams, the bigger Chicago teams. Like, that's something that I think recruits notice, and you know, fans notice, fans of Chicago basketball. So. Just super excited for their staff. As you guys know, like, I was there for a lot of the games last year and got to know the head coach as well as a couple of the assistants. So just super stoked for them and for all those girls. And yeah, I don't know, Lou, what would you, I know you saw that, so what were you thinking about?
Yeah, I had the pleasure of listening to the coach, the leader of that team, at the little pregame to the Harvard game yesterday. Mm-hmm. As we record, and yeah, again, fired up there. Steve Watson, also our AD, was fired up about it. Again, it's just another thing. As we know, a few weeks ago we talked about it, right? Highest recruit ever in women's basketball. Could even argue that it was the highest recruit I think I've seen, maybe at both men's and women's basketball, right? A top 100 recruit and a local one, in matter of that fact. So yeah, I think it's all good for the program. Also just good for the the athletics department, who doesn't like to see us beating Evanston's local D1 school. So no, I think it's definitely cool, definitely exciting. And again, you can even the room, I think, was like, yeah, you beat Northwestern, yeah, we're gonna cheer really hard for that, because again, those are those little, you could say, local rivalries, really like localized. And I think, again, maybe that gets the conversation started about maybe playing teams like that more often that are local, if they just weren't too afraid. But no, it's great to see that. Great to see that, without a doubt. And again, excited for what's to come with the women's team and their program and where that ship's going.
Yeah, just also special shout out there, senior or super senior Sam Galanopoulos.
Oh, what a game. I saw that.
Yeah, she's been going off. She had another 20-point game. I think she had 28 or 26 against Northwestern. And then she had another 20-point game just the other night against the game before Eastern, whoever they played. They played someone before Eastern, but she had another 20-point game in that game too. So, yeah.
DePaul. Wow, at DePaul. Yeah, she dropped 20 against DePaul.
Yeah, so she's been having a really good year. Just really excited for her, and to stay at Loyola and do what she's doing is a cool thing. So just, yeah, they're a lot of fun to watch. Go watch them play. Like, they got some dynamic guards through the transfer portal, So, yeah, they're a fun team to watch, and I'm really excited. I think they're gonna win some games in the A-10 this year. I really think they could find themselves winning at least like 6-7, something like that. Surprise some teams. They have the size and athleticism this year that they just didn't have last year. So,
Speaking of surprising teams and just surprising myself, I am looking at the schedule. I'm not gonna say this is a prep thing, but did you know that the women are playing Iowa?
I did. Yeah, isn't that crazy? They can play Caitlin Clark.
That's coming. I'll be glued to that. I'll be watching that game.
Yeah.
Jeez. Ooh.
I don't know who.
Thank God we're not playing. Because DePaul's the one who played them in the stadium.
Mm-hmm.
DePaul's women. So I'm happy we're not playing them in the stadium. But that's going to be very exciting to watch. So there we go. But yeah, go on, Lady Ramblers. Yeah, and yeah, they got two more games before that Iowa game.
Yeah.
So this is going to be exciting to watch.
I'm so curious how they figured out that game. I wonder if – I highly doubt it, but I wonder if Iowa is coming to play Loyola next year, like in Chicago.
There's no way, but that would be very interesting.
The only way I think it would happen is if Iowa has a couple girls that are like from Chicago, and like their coach is trying to get a Chicago game for them, like for their senior year or something. That'd be like the only way, because I know sometimes coaches will do that. So, but
we did that. Yeah, no, the men's team did that. We tried to get Ben and Clay a game in Kansas City. Mm-hmm. So that is not out of the realm, and especially I feel like. If we're going to be honest, I feel like the Iowa women's team has a little bit of a pull to do that. So,
exciting to see.
Exciting to see for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, that'll be fun. So shout out to the women's program. Keep on keeping on. Like, love to see you guys having success. So, super fun. Now on to the men's team. So, since the last time we were able to post an actual episode, like we said, we've been 4-2, so maybe that's the solution is we just don't post for a while and then we end up a couple games over 500. But we had a tough loss to UIC, which I don't think either one of us really want to talk about that, to be totally frank. Then we end up having a close win against New Orleans. Just one of those games we couldn't put them away. Also the first game without Phil. I mean, Phil played some of the UIC game, but not all of it, I think. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, first game, fully without him. I don't know. I know that people were probably a little frustrated we couldn't pull away, but when New Orleans has a player on their team that is was the record for the highest three-point percentage last season, like, you're always in a game when you have him. So, I know probably kind of frustrating, but also not entirely unsurprising to me. I don't know if you...
Yeah, you informed me of that, and I did. I remember you and I were chatting about that. You informed me of that, and I didn't know that. I think it is kind of just like, oh, damn, okay, that's really unique. But then it was tough to be like, why he's the only one scoring, right? Like, it's just one of those where when he nearly scores half the team's points, that's when it's like, maybe we should just do something. So I think that was just, again, his shots were from deep. Like, there's no denying that, like, the defense was, like, there, but there were points where definitely, like, Dez on him was, like, a little slacking because it's like, you can't make every shot. And it's like, no, he shot 50% from three, and 50% from field goal. So, yeah, he's making a good amount of his shots. So, yeah, just a little frustrating, but, again, I think – hopefully it was a little bit of a wake up, and again, like you said, we found a way to just hold on. So yeah.
Yeah, he shot 48% from three last year. He was he made 93 of 193. Career 43% 3-point shooter. So dude is just that. He's just a bucket, But like you said, they definitely, I think, could have guarded him a little different, a little sooner too. Like, yeah, when they're down 10, of course they're going to be going to him. Like, why is that surprising? But,
Yep, no, you're absolutely right. I kind of saw that toward the end, right? When we had a bit of a lead, you're like, okay, they're down more than 3 points. They're going to go to him to score three buckets to take into that lead. And it just felt like, again, like you said, there was no like, oh, they're not leaving. They're not staying down. They're fighting their way back, which, again, funny enough, I think we might have taken a play out of their playbook for a game later on. But no, yeah, they were there. Jordan Johnson, he was there all the time. So hats off to him. Yeah. Hats off.
Yeah, but we were able to win that game 73-70. So, you know, I guess no harm, no foul. And then it was just a nice little bit of a win before we were traveling and to go play in our two-game MTE, the Hall of Fame Classic, in Kansas City. So we had a very tough matchup in our first game against the Creighton Blue Jays, top 10 team. Lots of guys back from their – were they in the Final Four last year or the Elite Eight? They made it pretty far, one of the two. But they return a lot of their same players, some names you probably had heard called many times in their tournament run last season. We matched up pretty well, I thought, in the first half with them. It was close for most of the first half. I think we were leading at some point too, kind of later. But they went on a bit of a run, especially when they subbed out Ruben because he had a couple fouls in the first half. And then they just started hitting three after three after three. So that was just kind of too much. Their offense was just too powerful or too consistent for us to keep up with, especially with no Phil. But definitely nothing to be ashamed of, losing 88-65. My one thing I just wanted to mention was I really enjoyed watching Miles play in this game. The defense he played on Kalkbrenner, who's a legit like 7'1" center and senior too, so dude's got like 3 or 4 years on Miles, was just that he can hang with bigs. Like he can defend against 7-footers, especially like back to the basket type guys, even if they like have a quick little step or two. But I remember I was listening actually to Rambler Sports Locker or Rambler Sports Network or whatever, they were just saying about how he was playing one-on-one in the post. Like, that's incredible. Like, if you watch almost any other Creighton game throughout the season, the teams they play will not one-on-one him in the post. They will double, they will dig, they will show that they're going to double. So for Miles to be able to go one-on-one in the post with him. Like, I know Kalkbrenner finished with 29 points, but in the first half, I would like to know how Miles actually did against him, because I think he played very, very good defense. So that was my biggest takeaway from the game. Just really enjoy watching him play. Even though he got called for some silly fouls, he also had 3 block shots, so love to see that. But yeah, Lou, I don't know if you have any other takeaways from this game, but feel free.
Yeah, no, I think the whole fandom of Loyola Ramblers will never forget the first half against Creighton. The amount of memes I saw floating around, it made me a little chuckle again. For those who might not have followed via Twitter, I was a good 7 hours ahead of game. Mm-hmm. So I was into the weed late nights of midnight. And again, much to my surprise, again, a great first half. Just again, I think, again, not only does Creighton, who not only, yes, an Elite Eight team last year, never made the Final Four, which I can understand that, but I didn't realize that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, again, definitely I was a little bit more kind of upset with losing by 23. I was like hoping, and I if people saw the tweets, I was hoping to get it under 20. But again, this team is a top 15, I think, sitting right now. They're only lost to Colorado State, who another top 25 team. So nothing crazy there. I think the only craziest thing was their three-point shooting. They hadn't shot, I think, better than 40% all year up to that game, if I'm correct. Or at least, again, they shot at a 50% rate, nearly 52%. So I think that might have been a little bit of a shocker. I'd be intrigued if that was something the game plan didn't expect. And then especially for them, the next game too, I think they only shot 20-something percent from three after that, so, or even less. But yeah, again, really happy with just the competition beginning. And again, just back-to-back nearly games of playing 7-footers just happens to be Miles's, I guess, feet in the fire kind of freshman year, right? Again, FAU had their 7-footer. And Creighton has there. So, no, but I absolutely do think it was a game like that. And then, again, very tough when you're missing Phil. I think that would have been very interesting dynamic to have for sure. But, again, Creighton is a top team in the country, and again, I don't mind. There's no surprise there, but yeah, again, very hard-fought battle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely a, like you said, hard-fought battle, and something you could definitely take away and add into for the next game and take a little bit of something, some momentum from that, and hopefully it carries on. And I think in our case, it did. We were able to then play the very next day, which as an athlete or coach or whatever, like, I think that's always fun, is to be able to, you know, if you lose or you don't play the way you want to the day before, to be able to wake back up and play another game is always a good thing. And we played Boston College after they lost their previous game as well. And this game was, again, another, like, really, I think, hard-fought game. Again, without Phil Alston, I think a lot of Rambler fans were wondering, like, where would the offense come from? And how would rotations work? And, you know, who's taking his spot? That sort of thing. I think the honest answer is just that, like, no one person can fill in what Phil did or what Phil does. So they were definitely going to have to get it by committee. And they did, I think. It was a back and forth game a little bit, especially in the second half. But Boston College ended up taking a 9-point lead with 4 minutes left. And it kind of just looked like, oh man, like, you know, Ramblers back to their ways of last year, like fighting hard, but you can't really seem to D up or make an important basket down the stretch. But that definitely was not the case in this one. We were able to start a run, and it was end up only letting BC score 2 more points in the last 4 minutes. Some really impressive and important baskets by Miles. Braden hit some free throws. Dez hit a huge three to tie the game, and then yeah, Braden free throws down the stretch. But just all around impressive game. And before I go any further, Lou, go ahead and take it away. Let me know, you know, what impressed you about this game or anyone in particular in the BC game.
No, I think I really like your point out of kind of like, oh, this is the same team as last year, because again, you saw that with the. And again, these are back-to-back games, so I do think there's a correlation, right? The second half beginning of the Creighton game, Creighton just went on a run. We couldn't find a bucket. We were being streaky. And I think Creighton went up at a certain point of in the 20s, right? And that's just how the second half started. And again, first half with us against BC, very just, again, back and forth. We were up 5. And then all of a sudden, like you said, the second half, you're like, ooh, they're up. And again, it was contested back and forth, tied a lot of bits, and maybe the margin was maybe only 5 for majority of it. But then when you see 9 with under 4, yeah, you can raise those 4 fingers and you're still kind of questioning, ooh, this is really tough. But again, as Hazelmetrics will state, right, it's not over. And I do think this team found very, very interesting ways to be competitive down the stretch. I think not only was the offense making buckets, but that defense, I think we were forcing BC to take shots they shouldn't take. I think they didn't look comfortable at certain points. It just looked like they were handing things to us, because I think we were prepared to just be right in front of them and be like, hey, we're not going to make this easy. And again, hey, one could say if you see yourself down 9 after just getting beat the night before, you could be like, hey, we played tough. I'm not here to, like, I don't have much left. And I don't think that was a single person, right? Again, hats off. I think if we're talking about one player, for me, I tweeted about it. Jaden Dawson, first game back was the night before, and then all of a sudden completely turned around. Same with Braden Norris. Might not have had the smoothest start to the year, which from shooting, but no one gave up. No one felt out of space. It's like, hey, I'm going to do something to win. So I do agree with you. Definitely similarities to like last year. And they're like, hey, we're being streaky. Okay, we're letting the other team put their foot on the pedal and just go. And I think this time we took a stance. And again, no Phil, right? Pat and or Patrick and Dame. I don't want to assume he wants to go at Pat. But Dame definitely, I think, helped with even Miles playing not so many minutes in this game. So it's, again, I think this was nearly a next guy up kind of thing. I don't want to call out saying maybe why one person had more minutes than the other, but ultimately for me, this was really, I think you could say, 8-man game of just everyone getting minutes and making those minutes matter, especially the last 4 minutes, Buck. I really do think those 4 minutes were very special to watch.
Yeah, and I want to talk about those 4 minutes too. Like, I know from experience in practice, you try to simulate things, right? Like, you say, oh, you're down five with the ball with 40 seconds left, or, you know, like, tie game, 2 minutes left, like, you're in the bonus. Like, you always give these sort of situations, and yeah, I think it can help sometimes. Like, it's better to try to be prepared than to not be, or to be unprepared. But this is something, like, this is a realistic scenario. Like, down nine with 4 minutes, like, you're not out of the game. Like, you know, that is still a close game. You just got to make your possessions count and defend without fouling, right? And then try to let the rest take care of itself. So I think this is a huge experience. Like, I think this game is going to is just going to help them build their confidence. Now they know, you know, when they're down a few with a couple minutes left, hey, we've done this before. Like, we did this before on a neutral court. Like, it's not even like, oh, we just did this at home or whatever. Like, we did this against an ACC team. Like, that's big time. So I really, you know, I hope that fans don't look at this and be like, oh man, we barely escaped. Like, we could have won by so much more. But, like, no, like, this is an important game. This is, I really think this is an important step for this team, to win a game without Phil as well. Like, all that. So,
that's absolutely right. You mentioned it very, very strong, is that, like, you lose the first game. This is way back. You lose the first game in that MT. It could be just, regardless if it was Colorado State or BC, it could just be detrimental to the season to have another loss. Mm-hmm. So to find a way to win, no. You look at games, what, Kentucky lost yesterday. I saw Mississippi State lost today against teams like UNC Wilmington. Like, there are times where it's like, this could come back and be a solid win for us, or this just could be like, hey, better to add it to the bucket. So, no, I agree. I wholeheartedly, no matter what, this is a win that showed, hey, and again, now they have film, right? You just spoke from experience. You have film now also be like, hey, we practiced this because look what you just did. Mm-hmm. Like, you did that drill 4 minutes in real time. Again, even me growing up, you joke, what is the three-man weave going to do? And then all of a sudden you do it in a game. You're like, oh, this sometimes works. And it's like, we just watched 4 minutes of basketball that lockdown defense, limit the team to 2 points, and you found a way to win.
Yeah.
And again, a very just contested game and just very hard fought to find a way to win.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, and that will to win is just a big thing. I'm glad we showed that we have that in this game. So, also, just quick shout out to Jaden Dawson. We'll talk about him some more too. Just kind of maybe as we're wrapping things up, we could talk about him here, but. Just shout out to him. Good game. Love to see you back. Happy he was healthy. Yeah, we can move to the next one. The next one was the home game against, I can't even joke. I was going to say something like feared Chicago rival, but no, it's Chicago State. They're not very good. They haven't been very good in years past. You know, like,
just for listeners to know, we were supposed to record after that game.
Yeah.
And then that game did not make us want to record. So, it again, hats off to them, but what a game this is going to be.
Yeah. I'm not going to try to sit here and, like, be like, oh man, they might be, like, a little bit better. Like, they have won 3 games already and they've beaten 3 D1 teams. So, like, they beat Southern Indiana, which is their very brand new D1 team. So, maybe, oh, okay, we'll toss that one aside. They beat Morgan State. Who I don't know. It's a legitimate D1 team, and they've also beat Stetson. So, you know, they're a capable team. And I guess I've learned, at least in coaching, one of the things is you're still lining up against college basketball players every single night, right? Like, I understand, like, you know, this team is not supposed to be very good, and they're not even in a conference this year. They're independent.
No conference this year, yeah.
But they're still college basketball players who all played AAU growing up. They all probably at some point scored 50 points in their career. You know, like, these dudes, like, were the best players, or at least one of the best two players on their high school team. So, that's, I think, going into this, you, like, Loyola might have had the mindset like, oh man, like, you know, we got this. Like, oh, we're prepared. Like, well, yeah, I read the scout. Like, it's fine. We got this. But ultimately, when they came out and they had some really intense ball pressure in the first half, I think that really was something that they might have prepared for. I feel like Drew even said it in his post game that they were prepared for that, but they were not prepared for that, like mentally, at least from what I could tell on the court. And yeah, in the first half, I mean, like, it was an ugly offensive showing from Loyola for probably about actually 30 minutes of the game, 25 minutes of the game, something like that. And Chicago State, yeah, they were hitting some weird threes. They hit one at the end of the first half, like on a whim, off a leg, off a tip ball, off a rebound. Like, but that's the sort of thing that, you know, it does take for a team like Chicago State to beat a, you know, good to great mid-major team. So it seemed like those things were kind of happening. But I think big ups to our guys for sitting down, playing some good defense in the second half, realizing like, oh, maybe, you know, my shots aren't falling right now. Let's try to get to the hoop. Like, they got to the free throw line a bunch. They ended up hitting 17 free throws, 17 to 24. Like, not a terrible stat. So I do think there were some adjustments that they made in the second half, and it did show that it worked. And just some big shout outs to some of the guys who don't always get shout outs, I think, on the pod. Jalen Quinn and Sheldon Edwards, especially Sheldon, just huge game, keeping us in it in the first half. So we didn't go into half like down 20, you know, like hit three threes, I think, in the first half. So shout out to those guys. But yeah, Lou, what do you got? What were some things that either impressed you or made you scratch your head a little bit?
Yeah, no, right away in the first half, I don't know if many people, but I had this flashback. It reminded me of the famous, I will never forget this game, but I will bring it back for other people who might have forgotten. But we played Southern Illinois when we were back in the Valley. Mm. And that game, I think, was the infamous, like, 21 to 18 or 19 first half. Southern Illinois was up. And it just was like nothing was falling. Shots just weren't there. And I think it was just like that's what it felt like. I do agree with you, though. Being there in the arena and Gentile, it felt like Chicago State was pressuring, and that was their goal, right? Mm-hmm. Just pressure in your face. And I do think there was a hesitation of some of the ball movement, like, wait, I got to really, like, kind of force this in and kind of get there, which I'm not saying they weren't prepared. I just don't think, again, that was like, oh, they're doing this right away. So, yeah, I think that was kind of a wake up. And like you said, again, they found a way to win, and it was toward the second half. But the first half, for sure, was not at all where you wanted to be, where anyone wanted to be. And again, we were down six, right? And that's not a spot I expected. To be honest with you, if I had to pick the games, I had the Chicago State and Harvard games flipped. I literally said maybe I'll leave at the halftime for the Chicago State game. I'll be frank. And again, nothing against Chicago State, but they were supposed to have 2 5-star recruits. They don't, because they're fighting right now a legal battle, the NCAA. But, like, this is a different Chicago State team, no conference. Like, you just don't know what you're dealing with. And I don't think I've really seen us – and I didn't go back, apologies. But I would love to know the history if we ever were down at half against Chicago State in any of our tenure of playing them. But, again, hey, I would love to have been a fly on that wall at the halftime. Mm-hmm. I think it's as simple as this, as, like, hey – I know you just played your asses off 2 games back-to-back, but you can't let one like this slip at home, right? And we did you called this out, I think. I don't know if you called it as this game. It might have been the Tulsa game, which is coming up this week. But you said, depending on how the MTE can affect us, mm-hmm. just like how last year's MTE affected us, in my opinion, very negatively, there could be a game drop, like drop ball, and not like meant to drop. And again, maybe the UIC game was one of them. But there easily could have been one like that. And I do think if this game turned out the way the first half was going, this could have been very detrimental to just the recognition of Loyola. And if we had any Chicago recruit in the building that night. But no, again, hats off, guys. Like you said, I agree with you wholeheartedly. Sheldon Edwards, a man who, and we're not coaches, or sorry, I'm not a coach, you are, but we're not coaches for Loyola, no. And we don't know what's going on. We don't know, again, there was questionable things why Sheldon didn't play. He played in the beginning of the year, but then didn't play, and then played at the end. I think I felt really excited to see him put up 14 points and just put him up and no questions kind of asked. And then Jalen Quinn, 15 points with 4 assists, like just found a way. And again, I think this is that type of team when people ask me, it's like, we need to build guys like Jalen Quinn. We need to build guys also like Braden to have that experience to be able to go score points. Because again, we've said it for years, the next guy up in this game, as much as I didn't want it to be, it was the next guy up. We needed someone else to find a way because for some guys, they just weren't clicking. And again, hats off to Sheldon for finding a way. And again, yeah, Jalen even played 28 minutes. Braden and Dez, I know they played 35 minutes plus. But again, you look at some of the other guys, I think it was ultimately a next guy up kind of mentality for sure. And again, you learn from as much as your mistakes as your successes. So I think I'm giving some foreshadowing, but maybe this was a wake-up call that helped for the next game. So, but yeah, ultimately the D1 Independent Chicago State came up and gave us a scare, and luckily we were able to find a way to win it at the end. And again, the crazy thing was I was trying to find answers in the box score, and it's like 12 turnovers, not that crazy. Mm-hmm. Field goal percent was 44, not that like terrible. It's like it was just a weird game. I really do think it was almost like a flu game, if you had to say. Mm-hmm. But luckily, we found a way to win. So,
yeah, I think ultimately Chicago State, like in the first half and early in the second, they just hit some timely shots. You know, like. Where like
that 3-pointer you mentioned,
yeah, or we started to come back and then they hit a 3, get a steal, get a dunk, like, you know, just like little things like that where it's just like, oh man, this is really not going our way, but you know, we're only down 6 or whatever it was, like it just felt like it was more than that. But yeah, sometimes box score doesn't always tell the whole story, but I also, you know, that's what we do sometimes is look at that. And I really like Sheldon. We've talked about him, but 14 points, 4-9 from 3, which, like, take that every day of the week. And 4 rebounds, 2 assists, steal a block, and no turnovers, right? Like, yeah, I know he's not, like, decision-making a lot. Like, he's not setting up the offense, but still to not turn the ball over in 20 minutes is – that's a big thing for a scorer like him. Like, you can't – if you're going to come in and score the ball, you can't turn the ball over because – we know the scores, like, someone, I'm not saying he can't, but he's not known for his defense, right? So, like, if you're not scoring and you're turning the ball over and you're playing not the best defense, then, like, well, you know, you can't be playing. So, love to see that from Shell. Like you said, JQ, huge minutes. Don't even need to repeat that. Love his play. But also Tom Welch, second half. I don't think he played at all in the first half. Or if he did, it was for, like, a minute. But... played 16 minutes total. I want to say almost all that's in the second half. Nothing crazy is going to pop out of that box score, but just lots of heart. He did foul out in 16 minutes. Some really questionable calls, but just love to see him playing hard. Sometimes you just need someone like that. You just need someone who's going to come in and, like, you know, dive for loose balls and set good screens, like, and do those sort of things that they don't show up in the box score, but... I just thought he played a lot of heart and was really getting the bench fired up. Like, I don't know if every team has this, but I know we have one too, where there's someone that just, like, when they're fired up, like, it's someone that's not always the most emotional person. It just gets the whole bench going, and I just feel like Tom is probably that guy for this team. So just love his energy and, you know, being here for 5 years, like, it's just really cool. You don't see that a lot in college basketball anymore. And I mean, you won't see it a lot, especially after the COVID year stuff is done. But yeah, we will have lots of opportunities, I think, to talk about Tom throughout the season. But just love.
No, you're absolutely right. Mm-hmm. I think the funny thing was I did note Tom had like 2 fouls in the first minute and a half of the second half,
yeah,
which he only played the second half. But no, some of the games are questionable fouls, and honestly, the following game, which I'll talk about from me there, they're definitely intriguing of how we're getting called fouls on us. But no, you're absolutely right. I think, again, Tom, 5-year veteran, you could say, longevity or journeyman, right? Just being able to go in and, again, just like Sheldon, in my opinion, guys who might not see as many minutes as some other guys, but when they are, they don't come off necessarily as 100% rusty, right? Like, maybe you need a bucket under you to get comfortable. But, again, you're expecting some things, and they give you something. And I think that's that's really beneficial, because it's like, if someone's having a tough night, or if they're double teaming, say, Braden one night and he's got to get, like, we have, there's ways to benefit the team. And coming off that bench, like for Tom and for Sheldon, I think that just sums up what you need, especially when we get into A-10, the depth of some teams and the athleticism, as we have said now in our second year, it matters to be able to have depth like that. It absolutely does. And again, sadly, Phil, again, like, he was missing this game. I think I turned to you and said, this would have been a great game for Phil, because there weren't many big guys. We were going kind of small ball, so it would have been very interesting to see him kind of power through. So, again, if guys were to collect injuries, right, we need to have a depth. And I think guys being able to plug in like Tom and Sheldon really help. And I know you're happy to see Sheldon shoot any day of the week.
Yes,
if possible. So
every day of the week, yeah. But yeah, the final score for that game was 62-53. Happy to get out of there with a win. Yeah, just on to the next. So the next game was arguably one of our hardest remaining non-conference games, I think. A home game against Harvard. Harvard has looked pretty good. They came into this game 6-2. With an impressive, a couple of impressive players, Malik Mack, who I believe is a freshman, averaging over 20 points a game. No crazy wins or anything like that for Harvard, but they beat UMass, so you know, fellow A-10 team. They gave Indiana a scare, yeah, just won. They were already 6-2, so. Definitely looked at them as a very capable opponent, good offense, likes to score the ball. They were without their big man, who is kind of plays like Miles, I think, shot blocker, that sort of thing. So, you know, take that with a grain of salt, but, you know, also we know what it's like to not play with one of our best players. So you can never take it for granted, and whoever you line up against, like that's the game for that day. Right. So, but it was cool. I thought this game was great. Lou, I'll probably actually just let you go through it, because I know you were there. I wasn't able to be there. I did watch a little bit of it, but yeah, go ahead if you want to take us through the game and just kind of things you saw, and I'll jump in a little bit later.
Yeah, I don't know if Drew asked Santa for an early Christmas gift or something, but just sitting there, especially let me give a little reference compared to Tuesday's game against Chicago State, just watching the start of the game was very, very, like, I was smiling. I was like shocked. I was like in awe. I'm like, what are we doing now? Again, correlation, Phil Alstead did start this game and is back. So maybe that's the correlation. I don't know. Granted, Phil actually didn't have that many first half points. So it was collectively a team. It was just very, very quick. And very shocking, we got out to an 8-0 lead within the first 4 minutes. That I don't think has happened too much recently. We're within the first 5 minutes, we're putting up maybe points, and within the first 5 minutes, we're in the double digits. And honestly, call me out, but yeah, that's, I think, that's something that's rare for us. Mm-hmm. And again, a Harvard team that I didn't expect kind of this separation or this gap. And again, we went up 12, we went up 14, 16. Oh, it kept going, right? So we were up 22 at points, 24. Like, there was really no – I think 24 was the largest gap of the first half. And you're like, what is this team? Just compared to Tuesday. That's the biggest thing. Mm-hmm. It's like this team was a very different team that came out of the gates and, in my opinion, really felt comfortable. And honestly, in the first half, we had 18 bench points. And I was like, whoa, everyone's just kind of finding a way to score. And again, you'll see that in the final box score. But personally, that's really what it felt like. Everyone was finding a basket. Almost everyone had a bucket. And that's crazy. Only two people who took shots didn't make a bucket. Tom took a shot, he didn't make it. And Trey at the end took a shot, didn't make it. Everyone else who at least took a shot at least made one field goal. And that was like, wow, that's crazy for me to see. Now, again, points were spread out, and that's just great. I really thought we shot like 100 threes. We didn't. We only made 9 total in the entire game, but 7 in the first half. That's why I think I felt really overwhelmed. Yeah, I think it was a really exciting game. I was getting a little giddy because this was like, whoa, this team, when hitting on all cylinders, can really just go. And I was like, this is awesome. And then another thing was, I'll lastly say this, the thing that sums up the game for me, we had 23 assists to 10 turnovers.
Man.
23 to 10. I have to go back. I just need, for my own sake, when's the last time we had like double?
Yeah.
That has to, especially compared to the team last year and how we start off this year. But again, Greg, man, Greg Dolan might have only had 5 points, but he had 7 assists, 6 rebounds. Braden had six assists, 8 points. Like, guys found a way to facilitate the ball, and it was just great to see. It was just great to see. And exciting because I was like, holy shit, screws my French. But this team, when hitting cylinder, it was hit going, can really work. Mm-hmm. We'll call out free throws at another time. I'm going to take the win. Free throws, I nearly wanted to scream my head off. But, hey, we'll talk about fouls here in a second. But, Buck, from not only a box score, you said you looked at some highlights. And, again, Rambler Sports Network, great with some detail there. I tip my cap. Last year, Drew was being interviewed every single game, gave us an answer. Being able to still get that insight is helpful. But, Buck, what were insights that you were able to pull out that got you intrigued?
Yeah, I just really like how we play defense in general. I tuned in for a couple minutes here, a couple minutes there, and I feel like I didn't even see Harvard make a shot. And that's because they only made 13 shots total throughout the whole game. So,
mm-hmm.
like, yeah, they made a bunch of free throws, but pretty much every time you're holding a team to making 13 made baskets, you're going to win the game. In particular, really like how he played defense on Mac, on their best player. One of the things that we like to say on our team is don't get beat by the knowns. And like, that's the dude, like top of every, of their scout, I'm sure. Like, you know, they were saying we got to stop him, like, or just make his life really difficult. And they did that. He only had 10 points, 3 turnovers, and was 3 of 11 from the field. Like, that's for a dude that's averaging over 20 points. Like, that's a terrible game. So yeah, I really like how they D'd up. I thought that they're just having Phil back was huge. Just how much he adds, like how physical he is. He's just a different force than a lot of the other guys we have. And that just kind of diversifies like what we're able to do. I like seeing him and Miles play together. Like that starting five that we roll out, like that, I really like that. I mean, I know like we should like that, right? But like, I think that's a great squad. Especially then knowing like, oh, okay, Jaden can come off the bench, right? Someone else that we've seen have some really impressive games, or Jalen Quinn, who like was one of the major reasons why we won, the game against Chicago State. Like, or you got Dame coming off the bench, who was all Ivy last year. You know, so it's just, like you said, like earlier, like our depth is really impressive. And that is, I think, one of the reasons why we're going to be successful in the A-10 this year. Someone gets in foul trouble, okay, next man up. If Miles is in foul trouble, great, we got Dame and Tom. You know, two different looks of big guys. Or if Dolan, you know, is sick one day, okay, cool. Like, throw Jalen or Jaden in the starting lineup and Greg can come off the bench. So, those are the kind of things, like, you mentioned it too, just seeing everyone get involved. Those are the kind of team wins that I think go a long way. Just really exciting and happy to see them dominate a game from start to finish, leading the entire game. So, love to see that. But, yeah, anything else from you? Anything I might have missed or some other thoughts you got?
No, it's not really misses. It's just exciting to see it. And again, you and I joked, right? ESPN, for some reason, has been doing the whole just showing everyone on the roster when sometimes you look at the box score. But everyone, if you look at our box score on our website, I think everyone's name's on there because everyone did get in. I'm not going to talk about certain players right now maybe getting single-digit minutes or no minutes. I think I'll say that for when we will do an in-depth kind of non-con halfway through the season chat. But again, the guys who did get in, I really do think, well, we had 3 guys in double digits. Again, Dame off the bench with 12, Dez with 13, Phil, I'm pretty sure majority of the points had him in this, of his 16 were in the second half. If you didn't know, check out, there was a great dunk to put a little maybe exclamation point on some things, but yeah, just efficiency. Again, Dame was 6 of 10. I'd love him to feel more comfortable being the big size he is underneath. A little questionable 3-point shooting the second half, but again, I think we're going to be a little bit more comfortable because we had a lead. Talking about you, Patrick, maybe take a shot back or two. But yeah, again, I think sometimes when you have such a big lead and you've done the hard work in the beginning of the game, you can maybe get a little bit more relaxed toward the end. But yeah, overall exciting. Definitely great to see. Miles, I was watching, Miles had 9 rebounds. Maybe later on the season we could be on a double-double watch. Well, who knows? It depends, I think, probably gonna, when it comes to minutes. But yeah, absolutely excited. I think when you it's not that just filling a box score personally for me, but when you see collectively a team throughout each, right, spread of offense, spread of defense, and then again, I'm going to just harp on this, but like 23 assists to 10 turnovers, that's something we haven't seen for quite some time, and very excited about that. Very, very excited.
Yeah, yeah, I think overall, just a great game, a great feeling afterwards, and just hoping they can carry it on. Going and playing Tulsa in a couple days here, that'll be a test, a road test, so definitely should be a good game, and they can kind of take that momentum and hopefully be able to use it and come out of Tulsa, Oklahoma with a W. I wonder if we might see some old friends. We're out in Oklahoma, and a couple, old coach, and I guess technically a guy who was a coach at Loyola for a month or so, but probably better known for his play on the court, Clayton Custer and Porter. Maybe if they don't have a game, they can just swing through, say hey, what's up. But
I would love to know how close do you think Norman, Oklahoma, is to Tulsa?
Do you have the?
I just would love to know.
Do you have the answer?
I know it already. Oh. I'm just curious how close you think they are.
I feel like Oklahoma is the horizontal version of Illinois. So, like, Chicago to, Carbondale or whatever, you can even go further south. Like, it's like 5 hours. So, in my head, I was thinking like 2 hours. So, how far?
Okay, it is 2 hours. It's about 2 hours. Okay. I don't think Porter driving 2 hours, but I thought you were going to be like, it's like UIC to Loyola. And I was like, no, we're not that. We're not playing at Wintrust. No,
I definitely thought you were going to say like 6 hours. That's what I thought it was like. Oh, okay. Once I thought about it. Yeah.
There we go. Well, no. Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. Like Tulsa, again, that's a team to be watching out for. Again, I think that's our first, because we're playing two teams in the American, right? Or no, this would be our second American conference, because again, FAU's in the American,
right. Yeah.
And then playing Southern Florida. So again, one neutral. I guess we might look into an A-10 American
that could be cool
matchup or something. I think both conferences would actually probably want that, but mm-hmm. Yeah, Tulsa definitely, I think, could be something to be intrigued. And again, like you said, we just can't sleep on anyone. I think the Chicago State was interesting. I think, just especially in the beginning, I think that was the big thing. Just if we had to sum up all these games, and again, Creighton, we were in there the first half, right? So maybe that's a little bit different. I think we start off strong with the BC game, but then maybe let things go. So it's how you start each half. I do think there's a different tone of how you start the first half and then how you come back out of the locker room in the second half. Mm-hmm. Excuse me. You saw it with the Creighton game. You saw it with the BC game. Sometimes if you let things slip away, there's no fighting back. So I think we can't really be sleeping on Tulsa, because again, we look at the rest of college basketball, right? Like I said, Kentucky, geez, Marquette the other day, like there, everyone's has a chance. And any given night, if a team's just clicking on all cylinders, you could be dangerous. So mm-hmm. I think not only can we be dangerous, but it'd be very, very, very exciting to see if we can finish strong like we just did against Harvard.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. I'm looking forward to that. Looking forward to getting a road dub, hopefully. True road game, first true road game too.
Is it? Yeah, I guess technically, yeah, that's a good shout out. This is our first like true road game of the year.
Yeah.
It's going to be interesting.
Yeah, yeah, it should be a fun one. So, yeah, that is Tuesday night. So, I don't know. I think that's kind of all I got. You got any last thoughts?
Yeah, I think, again, record-wise, we're 5-3. I'm not going to say one thing until after we record next episode to see if I don't jinx it. But, again, UIC game, maybe the bad loss of the year so far for us. Again, I hope they go win the MVC and they go undefeated the rest of the way. And maybe it doesn't look that bad, but it'd be very interesting if we had that one back. And I think maybe it's like something to say to the guys, hey, they can't get that one back. All we can do is grab other ones that people didn't expect us to win, right? When it comes to when we go play Dayton or when we go play even George Mason starting off hot. So it's like, again, you got to look forward. And again, I don't know, Bill Belichick says it on to Tulsa. You can only look one game at a time, and he can't be worrying about, I think, what could have happened if we did. But so far, again, not terrible record, 5-3, I think. Would love maybe one back, but definitely capable, I think, of what we've seen so far. There's so many different rotations that have been coming out. I think if we find consistency, especially what we saw Saturday, I think we could be dangerous.
Yeah, they just got to keep up with that mojo, and hopefully that will be the case from here on out. So, yeah, all right. Well, I think that is going to do it here from Buck and Lou. We appreciate you listening, and we will be back when we're back. You know, I hope we're going to be back soon, but I'm also getting married on Saturday, so yeah, I don't know.
Oh yeah, spoiler, we won't be at the Goshen game because Buck here's getting married.
That's true. Yeah, so it might don't look for one early next week. You know, it might be maybe middle of the week I'll be back. We're not taking an immediate trip either or anything like that, so maybe middle of the week or something. But yeah, so thank you all for listening, and don't forget, always remember, go Blurs.